Westminster Weekend up next on Abounding Grace Radio. Join us. Pastor Chris Gordon, and on behalf of the Linden United Reformed Church, we bring you Westminster Weekend.
Thanks, Chris. Hi, this is Scott Clark for Westminster Weekend. Today, we begin a two-part series with Dr. Dennis Johnson, professor of practical theology at Westminster Seminary, California. Dennis is the author of several well-regarded and widely read books, including Him We Proclaim, Preaching Christ from All the Scriptures, and Triumph of the Lamb, a commentary on Revelation. You can find all these titles at the bookstore at Westminster Seminary, California, wscal.edu/bookstore. Hi, Dennis, and welcome to Westminster Weekend.
Thank you very much, Scott.
Dennis, the listener may know you from conferences and books or from sermons, but he may not know that you haven't always been Reformed. Tell us a little bit about your journey towards the Reformation.
Well, I was born into a Christian home. An evangelical Christian home. My parents loved the Lord and raised me to understand the Bible, the basics of the gospel, certainly, and the church that I was raised in preached the gospel, I believe. But it really wasn't until college that I came across some of the distinctive understandings of Scripture that we would call Reform, the sovereignty of God over all of history and the sovereignty of God in salvation in particular. And a lot of that came, I went to an evangelical Christian college in which Reformed thought was in the minority, although it wasn't unheard of there. There were several professors that the word on the street was that they were Calvinistic. I think of an English professor named Jan Kingma, who was from the Netherlands originally, and just much beloved English professor, and he was Reformed in theology. Another English prof, Ed Erickson, later on went to teach at Calvin College, and not from a Reformed background himself, but had come to more Reformed understanding. So there were professors, but I think the greatest influence on my life was a fellow student who entered the college with me at the same time, Greg Bonson, who went on to do a lot of writing and apologetics and also writing in ethics, adopting a view of the application of Old Testament law called theonomy or Christian reconstruction. Greg pushed me back to the Bible over and over again. We became friends. 1 year we're roommates in the dorm, and he just kept pushing me back to Scripture. You believe the Bible, don't you? All of us evangelicals knew that, of course, God couldn't really be that sovereign, that he would choose who gets to believe and not. That has to be our decision. But Greg kept pushing me back to Scripture and saying, no, actually, look at what the Bible says. And that persuaded me on those issues that distinguish Reformed or Calvinistic understanding of salvation from an Arminian view, for example. And that was a decisive turning point for me, those years.
When you confronted those ideas, how was that? I mean, personally, existentially, when you first heard them and you were forced to think about them and to look at Scripture afresh in the light of the claims that you were hearing, was that an easy thing, or did it go quickly, or how was that for you?
I think it was less painful for me than it has been for some others. I had not been taught up to that point against Calvinism. I didn't have necessarily a negative image of it, although it just seemed strange to me. And I was a little suspect of it, actually. And I remember at some college break going back to my home congregation in the Los Angeles area and having a meeting with my pastor there in this evangelical church and sort of trying out some of these ideas on him. He had gone to Fuller Seminary and then went on to Princeton Seminary and later went on to pastor in the Presbyterian Church USA, a solid, theologically solid guy. And I tried some of these ideas. I didn't know that he was Reformed. but I had high respect for him. Not only as a preacher and as a thoughtful, I don't know if I would have said theologian at that point, but his sermons really had meat. They had substance to them. And for him as a person, for his gentleness and kindness and integrity and compassion for people. And I was beginning to see, this is really taught in the Bible, but I also was beginning to wonder, does this mean make you a kind of an arrogant, hard-to-get-along kind of person? Hmm. And when he said, well, about these ideas that have been explained to me and that I was beginning to see in Scripture, he said, well, that's clearly what the Bible teaches. For me, that was a helpful thing, to have a man that I respected for his character and his compassion, as well as for his intelligence and biblical fidelity, say, this is what I believe. That's what I see in Scripture.
And he was modeling for you the fact that you didn't have to be, if you embrace these ideas, you didn't have to be an abrasive jerk. He's a gracious guy and warm.
Exactly.
You're listening to Westminster Weekend. I'm Scott Clark. We're talking with Dr. Dennis Johnson, professor of practical theology at Westminster Seminary, California. Dennis, when we come back, I want you to respond to this. As you've described your journey to the Reformed faith, it seems as if broad evangelicalism, as you experienced it, was good preparation for the Reformation, so that the bridge that you had to walk to Reformed theology was not very long. But it seems as if now things have changed. We'll talk about that right after this. In the 17th century, John Bunyan gave us the character Mr. Valiant for Truth. In the 20th century, God gave us another Mr. Valiant for Truth, J. Gresham Machen, the founder of Westminster Seminary. The spirit of Machen lives on at Westminster Seminary, California, where, for 30 years, we've been fulfilling his vision of training men for ministry and preparing them to be expert in the Bible. WSCAL.edu, 888-480-8474, Westminster Seminary, California. For Christ, his gospel, and his church.
I think that's true. I was taught, I believe, a very high view of Scripture. You know, it's hard to reconstruct at the distance of, yay, so many decades. But
we won't stipulate how many.
I do think that I came into college with the conviction that if my ideas ran afoul of what the Bible clearly taught, then it was my ideas that needed fixing, that I needed to really submit my thought to Christ and as he speaks in the written word.
How did seminary change you, affect you, and prepare you for what you went on to do?
Well, the first thing I think that I went to Westminster in part because my friend Greg Bonson, who had a wonderful plan for my life, knew that now that I was beginning to see God's sovereignty in all of salvation, that I needed to go to Westminster. And I said, no, I'm going to be an English professor. And he said, no, you need to go to Westminster. And I said, no. And he said, well, why don't we drive out and take a look at Westminster over, say, spring break, which he and I and a third fellow did.
Road trip.
Junior year blast.
Oh, my.
Not to the beaches of Florida or someplace wacky like that, but to Philadelphia to sit in seminary classes. And that trip convinced me that I wanted to be at Westminster for maybe a year. I was beginning to see presuppositional apologetics. Francis Schaeffer had spoken at our college a couple times, and Schaeffer was not in every respect on the same page with his teacher, Cornelius Van Til, but I was hearing in him some things that attracted me. And so I wanted to be an English professor who had his head on straight in terms of a biblical worldview. And that was initially what I went to Philadelphia thinking I was going to do. Although I had thought about pastoral ministry, I would say as young as junior high age, before college. But by the end of college, I was thinking English lit, it's a nice, comfortable kind of pastoral life, but without the pastoring, you know, it's just living out among the sheep someplace.
Yeah.
What changed for me was partly seeing the high calling of the ministry of the word, the pastoral ministry. And I would say partly seeing also and really being gripped by the recognition that the whole scripture is really God's witness to his redemptive work in Christ, that everything that God was doing in the Old Testament, and certainly everything he says in the Old Testament, ultimately is deriving the hope of his ancient people forward to Jesus, and therefore it all speaks to us of Christ. So I went to Westminster a Calvinist as to soteriology, but it was really there at Westminster that I began to see the real unity of Scripture, the covenantal, redemptive, historical unity of Scripture in its focus on the person and the work of Christ.
So your literary interests and background actually help prepare you to read Scripture.
Oh, I definitely think so.
In a Christ-centered way.
Oh, yes.
And it's reflected in your later work, too, that you brought a certain literary sensibility to the reading of Scripture.
Oh, yeah. I definitely believe that that's so, that learning to read literature carefully and to see not only what it's saying but how it's saying it has helped me in learning how God delivers his message in Scripture.
After seminary, you went into the pastorate.
I did. That was a little bit of a surprise. By the middle of my senior year, I was tired of study. And yet, at the same time, apprehensive about pastoral ministry, thinking perhaps about New Testament studies now. English lit was something I would always be interested in, but not something I was going to devote my life to. Actually applying to doctoral programs in New Testament, and somewhat out of the blue in the middle of my senior year, I got a phone call from an elder in a church that I'd filled the pulpit for a couple, maybe three, four times in the previous 6 to 8 months, as their pastor had just been called elsewhere, and I was just available for pulpit supply. And he said, well, we had a congregational meeting last Sunday. We voted to call you as our new pastor. And I sort of paused.
Yes.
And I thought, now, I'm pretty new. I was in the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. I said, I'm pretty new to how things work in Presbyterian circles. But this isn't the order of things I'm used to. I thought there was sort of a candidating process or something where we all knew that you were thinking about me. And I knew you were thinking about me. And they just had a sense that God prepared me to be their pastor in North Jersey, Fairlawn, New Jersey. Hmm. And so I had, my wife and I had some praying to do.
Sure.
Some processing. I talked with some Westminster professors, with Dr. Bob Strimple, who would later become our first president out here. And he said, I want you to think about someday being a teacher. Hmm. He says, I think you'll be a better teacher if you've actually done pastoral work and I think you have those gifts and that calling. So he encouraged me, and even a man under whom I had done a pastoral internship who had previously pastored the church in New Jersey encouraged me to accept that call. So somewhat surprisingly to Jane and me, we ended up in Fairlawn, New Jersey, and several years there. And then I was called to a church back home. Los Angeles is my where I was born and raised, the Los Angeles area, and called to another Orthodox Presbyterian church there, and had a wonderful 5.5 years of ministry there before Westminster, California began to start up, and I was contacted about possibly joining our faculty out here.
Thanks, Dennis. That's it for Westminster Weekend. Thanks for listening. Be sure to join us again next week, same time, same station, for part two of this discussion with Dr. Dennis Johnson and another episode of Westminster Weekend. Find us on the web at wscal.edu. Call us at 888-480-8474 or email us at weekend@wscal.edu. And now here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Westminster Weekend was brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. Join us for worship. 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. are the worship service times on the Lord's Day. You can visit us on the web at lindenurc.com, or you can give us a call, 360-318-0429. Again, that web address is lindenurc.com. We thank you for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.